is the Kevin Shee Show.
Welcome to another episode of the Kevin Shee Show. I'm your host, Kevin Shee. Today we have a special guest today. His name is Jason Latimer. He won the Grand Magic Award Show many times, has been considered the next great magician in the U.S., similar to David Copperfield. I met him during a trip in Portugal in which we perform a lot of magic, but not just magic, but the way he presents it for us as an entrepreneur is really eye-opening. He gave us an inside question of how we can approach our business and in life, open our mind to explore different possibilities. We'll discuss with him how he started the business, what it takes to be magicians, and what's his plan going forward. A lot of key learning and inspiration here. I'm also starting a new segment probably soon about Ask Kevin. So if you guys have any questions about technology, business, or any guests you want me to invite on the show, let me know. Again, if you want to reach me, you can reach me on my Facebook, Kevin, K-E-V-I-N-S-H-E-E, my account, or the Kevin Shee Show. Please say that you're a fan of the show and then I'll add you as a friend. Thank you very much. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Kevin Shee Show. I have a very interesting guest with me today, all the way from California, is Jason Latimer, the great magician. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
We didn't know each other that well, but I met Jason in Portugal, one of the YO events, as many have. And I really was impressed. I must admit, I didn't go to too many of the speaking events because I was pretty drunk, actually. But yours really impressed me. It gave entrepreneurs like us a different perspective in business and different perspective in life. I mean, sometimes we tunnel ourselves into things that, oh, this is the way it is. There's no way out of it. We must. But then you give us other options and give us to think out of the box, and that was very inspiring. So unlike regular magic, I think it was really good because we really saw different perspective, and which is we really need in life and in business. So thank you for that. So can I ask you, can you give me some background about yourself, how you get into magic and how you became what you are?
Well, I was very lucky to find out something that I was passionate about at an early age. So okay. I've been in magic since I was 9. And I grew up raised by a pack of wild magicians. There's a private magic club literally about 30 minutes from my hometown where okay. the Magic Castle. And I was raised by a group of magicians that helped me get trained. I ultimately won the world championships of magic. Mm. And then I went back to college to finish up a few degrees to see if I could be a better magician.
What did you study in college?
My primary focus was mathematics, but it branched out mathematics, econometrics, and applied physics.
Okay. And you can use those theories and what you learned in school in the magic?
Absolutely. So like nowadays, every illusion I've ever created is actually a different field of science.
Wow.
So okay. I spend a lot of time studying different fields of science just for my own giggles, but on the same thing, can I master a very specific direction to try to make a new version or a new magic trick? So like shaping water is applied chemistry, but my bending light illusions applied physics.
Wow.
And so a rotating stage is engineering. So I just kind of mix and match for my own giggles. But then that's kind of what got me started, like inspired to learn, is to see if I could do something. And then that branched into education. So now I'm using my background in applied science and my background in magic to make education more fun and exciting to learn and get people to think outside the box.
So. Exactly. So I guess a lot of business entrepreneurs are like, wow, you can do that. And then you can actually influence them, because if you can do that, maybe there's a different angle I can see in life, right? So you actually get them to think differently, which is beneficial upon meeting you. Not just wow, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the real defining factor in my magic career was not that I was running around reading a magic book and doing the exact same trick for the audience. A lot of people will saw a woman in half. A lot of people will find a card. A lot of people do very similar magic tricks if you break it down to what it actually is. Whether you're sawing a person in half, in thirds, in a box, out of a box, on a park bench, it's the same trick. Okay. But shaping water or bending light, forming smoke, these illusions never existed before.
Yeah.
So start off with a blank sheet of paper and just ask a lot of questions till you bring it to life. Wow. And that's the same for any new company. Yeah. Continually ask questions till you find the right question and make it possible.
Yeah, I'll put some of your magic in my footnote later on. Let me ask you, unlike a singer or an actor, can you copyright your magic?
Well, you can, but I don't know if it's necessarily worth it. And here, the reason I break it down is I literally go to the nth degree to create a magic trick. So sometimes some people will come up with their own answer of how things work, and there's no reason why their idea couldn't work.
Yeah.
But I tend to go as far as you possibly can with different iterations and different methods.
Yeah.
by the time I'm done with it, it's pretty elaborate. So if somebody wants to follow that, then you really then the copyright wasn't going to stop you anyway.
Yeah. When did you decide that you're going to do magic full time?
I was lucky. I won the World Championships of Magic in 2003 and held the title through 2003 to 2005.
Wow. You're not 30 yet, right? You're like 25, right?
I was 22 when it happened, okay. And I was in college. Okay. I was in college when I got the tour, and I was just traveling the world. So before I even graduated, I had the opportunity to have a full-time job in magic. So
amazing. So how can you bring new magic trick up? Like, do you always think of new ones every day, or?
Well, I take a lot of inspiration from movies, like CG on movies. Idea for shaping water literally came from the movie Abyss a long time ago.
I remember that
figure
one.
Comes up through the water and becomes this like tube and then makes a face.
Yeah.
I spent years trying to work on a face before I started making other shapes. Pretty good at making Quasimodo when it comes to a face, but but it's not consistent enough to make it in the show. But science fiction is my go-to, one of my picks. But right now, I specifically target things I need for my Impossible Science program and what type of field of science I need to work on and what would fit within the show. And it's no longer just about wow and awe. It's about inspiring somebody to say, wow, that was possible.
What is Impossible Science? I remember you sit on the board of Impossible Science. Or did you found that organization? You explained a bit about it.
In 2013, I gave a TED Talk about why the world needs wonder and how the next cure and the next technology will come from a question that's never been asked. So our next innovation will come from somebody asking a new question. Okay. And the reason behind that is more like the idea that E equals MC squared had to be available before we knew about it. Right?
Of course.
Just had to be available, right? Yeah. We just didn't know until somebody was wondering about the right question. Same with flight, same with the light bulb, same with everything. So when we know the right question changes everything, why hasn't anybody taken the time to design a curriculum to inspire wonder? So why hasn't anybody taken the time to inspire people to ask questions in education? And with my education and my background in magic, I felt I could combine the two and create the Impossible Science Program, which is stage shows, events, festivals. We have events in 5 different science centers now throughout Southern California.
Okay.
It's experiments where kids blow their own mind in levitation, invisibility, mind control, animation, and tricks. They're like learning about the refraction of light, the biology of the eye, the physics of flight. They're learning real hard science just under the topic of impossible.
Do you run this everything yourself, or is this like what kind of organization is it that you perform?
Well, I have a small team of 4 guys, one of which is a builder just for construction. But then what happens is the infrastructure is really dependent on the museum itself. So my offices are out of the Fleet Science Center in San Diego. And so every year we have the Impossible Science Festival where thousands and thousands of kids come to do all these experiments. Now, when we do the experiments, we have like 50 docents help choreograph all the different stations. Where up in LA, the Columbia Memorial Space Center and I, we put on the LA Science Festival, City of Sin, and we have 10,000 people in a day show up.
Wow.
So like it's every location is organized by my small team working with that museum to coordinate how many people might show up. And then on top of that, my stage show is mainly team running it. And so we're about, that's different. The Impossible Science program going into Oregon in next year, I'll be reunifying that with the local schools to bring the schools to the museums. So rather than just a day event, it's going to be a month event and just run over.
You're very passionate about kids, I see.
I strongly believe I'm going to find the one kid that asks a question that no one's thought of before. that question hasn't been thought of. I think that'll be fantastic if I'm retiring one day and this kid ends up telling me they saw the show when they were younger. So that's really, it gets me going.
Do you think, this is more of a long-term or maybe negative question, do you think the world is full of problems that we can't solve right now, like global warming, overpopulation? Do you think a question by somebody would solve these problems eventually? Or are we heading to disaster?
No, absolutely. I don't think there's a single thing we can't solve if we put our minds to it. I mean, when you think about it, how would you know what can't be done?
Like, obviously.
Think about it. How would anybody know what's ultimately possible? And a lot of people say, well, science says. Well, the problem with that is science is nothing more than the questions we've already asked. Like, it's what we know so far. And the progression of logical questions. So what we know so far is, yeah, we have a lot of things we have to work on. But that doesn't mean it can't happen if somebody finds the question on the new question. And that's really what I want to do.
So. Have your magician career been very smooth and successful, or have you been through some setbacks or major challenges that you've overcome? Can you discuss that a bit?
Yeah, in just doing magic alone, there's no roadmap. Just like innovation in any group, in any field, there's no set roadmap other than you may have some rules that somebody else has done or guidelines somebody else has done before you. Mm-hmm. But magic is one of those things where, in my personal opinion, if it's never been done before in the art of magic, I like to go after those. So that makes it really hard to build new stuff every time. And I've built a lot of things that don't work.
Thomas Edison.
When I was 25 years old, I built a 27 foot prop that didn't work.
Okay.
And it weighed almost a ton, and it was the largest paperweight I've ever built in my life.
And then it didn't work when you experimented, not when you're on stage or anything, right?
No, it didn't. It worked in model form, but then bigger, it didn't translate to full scale as it did when it did in a small scale. So now, it led to two different things. One, always think it through. And two, it also changed the way I designed. I know years ago I stopped designing on napkins and paper and went into virtual reality. So now I design everything in VR.
Okay. What are some of the new behavior or beliefs that you think an entrepreneur needs to move to the next stage?
They have to. Oh, that's one of my favorite things to talk about. You have to learn how to see over the horizon. I know it sounds funny. Over the horizon.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
You have to, in order to innovate and do something that's never been done before, you have to imagine an answer that hasn't existed before. Yeah. You have to see over what everybody's already done.
Okay.
Right? And it's going to be really hard in the beginning for, like, when I first decided to do this education platform rather than being in a casino. Even my agency and attorney and everybody was like, you're crazy. Until now, a few years later, we have hundreds of thousands of kids. You have to believe in it. When you're going to start something new, like an entrepreneur, you have to know you have to have the vision of what it's going to be like when you get there.
But you just don't know how to get there, right? So that you eventually
fill up. The first idea is not, I want to be rich, or I want to be, I want to be rich, so I'm going to come up with something. You need to have the idea fully fleshed out what it's going to be like when you get there.
Okay.
Not what you can spend, but like what I'm talking about, like, use mine. If I could figure out a way to do magic when I'm not there.
When you're not there.
When I'm not there.
Okay.
And that's why I've been developing my festivals and exhibits and labs, is because they're running without me now. And so now I'm a magician that can do magic when he's not there.
You're sitting at home watching TV, right? Yeah. Huh? You're sitting at home watching TV while people are doing magic on behalf of you.
Well, I wish it was that far. I haven't gotten that yet. But the idea is ultimately, I spend most of my time designing and making my program even better. Also designing something the reason why
that's scalable.
I'm not there, it's scalable at that point.
Yeah.
And so for me, when I talk about what my vision is a fully scalable model of impossible science where I come in, get it started, and then hand it over and then move on to the next level. For me, it's an always acquire thing. So every time I find a new science center that likes the concept of impossible science, bring in the stage show, bring in the live events, and then hand over the festivals and the exhibits. But for me, my goal is to make a scalable model that could inspire people when I'm not there. When you're an entrepreneur, you have to have that vision in mind first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then everything is a step towards that goal. And you have to see over horizon to get there, because most people won't see it. Most people will think you're crazy, or more people think it can't be done.
But that's the point, right? That's the point, how you're supposed to see it when you're done. I remember when I was young, I do self-storage. That's my core business. And we're always on TV. And for some reason, the TV channel always put my commercial, right after a pimple doctor lady, the lady who pops pimple, right? So this is what, think out of the box, I guess, the most relevant case is. So one time I met her in an event, and I said, why don't, instead of me going renting a storage, right? Why don't I end my commercial going to your place, popping a pimple, right? It was a very stupid idea, right? Because we always see each other next to it. And then, oh my God, we only spent like $1,500 making that commercial. that gave like 15 news report, television rating, and then she, instead of popping pimple, she went to rent a self-storage, right? So people were like, was freaked out because they saw like for 10 years, like there's always me renting a self-storage and her popping a pimple. When we crossed that line, it was a very simple thing. We got like 10 newspaper report and two.
That's a great idea. And,
yeah, it was a very simple idea. So again, think out of the box, literally, you know, you just pop into the next commercial, right? So
that's a great idea. My whole thing for the science and magic thing that I do, there's another philosophy that I also use for entrepreneurs. If you want to have something purely original, get good at one thing, stop. Yeah. Then get good at another thing and stop. And then combine those two.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you have a background. Like in my case, I have a background in science. Mm-hmm. And then I also have a life experience in magic. Mm-hmm. And when you combine them, mm-hmm. now you're playing with cards that nobody's ever had before. Because you are truly unique. You are a unique person. And if you can use two aspects of your life at the same time, that makes it very clear that there'll be another one like you.
Then you become very unique. Yeah.
Extremely
unique. Have you used magic in real life situations where people didn't know you're a magician and you're doing it in everyday life? Like, I don't know, like switch a rule contract or mesmerize, hypnotize some lady so you don't have to buy a movie to get it. Or
I'm pretty good. I keep everything on the up and up. In fact, I very rarely do magic tricks when I'm not on stage. Okay. It's not like my...
Except to impress girls, right? Back in the old days, right? Well, I got my girlfriend,
but we actually met at work, so it worked out well.
Okay. Well, in your younger days, I mean, magic does help you meet, right?
No, magic's great for breaking the ice with anybody. I think the funny thing is that you can guide it in any direction you want.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about magic is magic inspires wonder. And whether you want to use that for business or science or education, anything, wonder is an amazing tool that everybody forgets they have, because everybody gets so locked in the way they think based on like everything that happens in the day. But so when somebody encounters something they've never seen before, or they get shocked by a moment that didn't play out the way they thought it would, that's a great way to break the ice, regardless of it being a girl or being a business partner or breaking the ice with a company that's been doing it the same way every single time. Magic is a way to talk about, we may not know everything just yet.
Okay.
And it leads to great conversations in any business. So another thing you could do is, if you're an innovator, if you're an entrepreneur and you like to sell, then you're going to have to find a way to break the ice. There's a lot of value in admitting you don't know everything. Magic is great at pointing that out.
As a completely guy who's never been to magic, what's the easiest magic show trick to learn that I can break the ice? Like some coin or something and then make it disappear?
Oh, yeah. There's gimmicks. You can go to your local magic store. They'll have a whole bunch of stuff. You talk to them about fits your style. But the other one is I personally like to do magic with real objects, because...
Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to be locked, always having the same gimmicks in your pocket every time you leave the house. tricks that can use a coin or a salt shaker or a cup at the bar. That's a lot of value. In fact, a friend of mine who just started taking magic up, I said, well, what's your game plan for magic? And he's like, well, I want to be able to do it at a restaurant or bar. And I'm like, okay, I would study magic tricks with cash. Because it's funny to bring out.
Yeah.
Try to pay the bill with four blank sheets of paper, and then you fold them up, unfold, and they're $400 bills, and then say, I got this, and see how many people notice.
It's
a great way
to do it. That's what I mean.
Huh?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You can pull a fast one on these waiters and managers, you know, you pay them and it's actually blank paper, you know, you save a lot of money, man.
if you say, all right, everybody stop, I'm doing a magic trick, that's not as cool. If you just do something jaw-dropping, and then just casually keep going on with your day and see if anybody notices.
What kind of a career path do you see yourself going forward? Are you going to be like the next David Copperfield with your law? Your profession is similar to that of an actor or an actress. Is it true?
I was lucky to have a couple TV shows, but no. The crazy
famous.
No, not that famous, but I was lucky to have I kind of have two careers going on right now. So
okay.
My, My first television series here in the States was as a judge with Wizard Wars on with Penn & Teller on Sci-Fi. And then I followed up with a TV series called Psyjinx with Johnny Galecki and Tamara Robertson. But that was just a science show. So I've had a magic series and I've had a science series. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of got two different backgrounds. And I'm a curator of a science center and I'm also a world champion. So it's going to – well, hopefully I can see them all converging in the future.
And, okay, but – do you guys like do like shows, tours around the world, and then people buy tickets to see you? Is that your main attraction, or do you sponsor any products on TV or anything? What like can you tell our audience, like, if you want to be a magician full time, what kind of like things you should do to get an income or stay ahead?
Well, that's kind of hard because there's no set blueprint. And like in the future, I still plan on performing, but I don't perform nearly as much as when I used to back in a casino every day. I went from like 12 shows a week to now I do a few shows a month. Now I'm doing keynote speaking and conferences in science and technology and engineering firms and discussions about education around the world. But still in magic, but they're not at a magic conference. They're not at a magic venue.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is there was no set path to this. I just worked as hard as I could to make a name for myself in the science and education space. And then after working as hard as I could to make my name in the magic space. But when it comes to like a magician aspiring to do magic, just be original, be the best of one. I always tell people, I tell aspiring magicians, be the best of one. And when I went to the world championships for the magic, I decided to create a magic trick that had never existed before.
Yeah.
And it was follow the ball under cups, but the clear glass.
And I remember that.
You watch the ball vanish in clear glass.
I guess you're not going to tell us how you're going to do that, nor the magic ball. That would ruin your profession. No. But that was very amazing. That really woke me up besides the coffee. I mean, holy, what's going on, man?
For me, it was like the way I went at the world championships was if I'm the only one in the world that can do it, I'm going to be the best in the world at it.
Of course.
I ended up creating a new magic trick in order to compete so that when I got there, I wasn't in anybody else's category. I was their magician, but I was the only one that had it. And I joke around about the shaping water bit, which is I may be okay at shaping water.
You're the only person that can shape water.
But I'm the only person that's shaping water.
Exactly, right? So
be the best. You know, it's not worth it to be – if you're an aspiring artist.
Same in business, You don't have to be the best, just be unique, right?
Exactly. And capture that because you never want your entire career to be compared to one person for the rest of your life. You don't want to be famous just because you do somebody else's routine better. Even if you're better at it, it doesn't matter. It's not your routine.
Exactly.
So I think in business and in magic, it's all about just kind of getting being original and innovative will make a name for yourself.
You travel across the world performing magic, Asia, Europe, everywhere, Africa?
Yeah, I've been 47 countries, somewhere around there. I've been all around the world more times than I know. And I'm very lucky. The world championships did help a lot. There's a lot of different countries that compete, so because of that, once you win, you at least have your name recognized by the people that came from that country. And so I can do a small tour. And that's why college took me for so long, is I was kind of traveling on the weekends before I got back.
How do you see people performing magic or reception of you different in different countries?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So if there's a lot of places I actually can't perform in with my Impossible Science show because it's so heady and I talk so much in the show to prove a point that if you don't speak English, that would be really hard to do.
So that may be a new thing that you have to think to overcome, right? Because you can impact more people if the language barrier is not there, right?
Right. Well, there are some key words and key phrases that come out of a lot of my illusions. So each illusion in my stage show represents a different science as well as a different phrase.
Okay.
So it's the right question changes everything, or wonder changes the world,
mm-hmm.
or more along the lines of you were born with the ability to wonder. Each one of these illusions are paired up with the patter or script that has one. So I really think if I needed to, refining my show down to just one sentence per trick could still be done. Because in the very beginning, I didn't actually talk at all. I actually had every single one of my acts was to music because I was traveling to you so much.
Okay. And I guess it should be the last question. What do you say to a young person right now about like how to deal with life, how to handle challenges in the world growing up? What would be some of the messages that you can leave, inspiration message that you can give them?
Well, one, you know, it's a little bit heady, but it's definitely never, always be aware of what's called the illusion of knowledge.
Okay.
Actually trick yourself into saying you know what can and can't happen.
Okay.
And the problem with that is nobody knows what can ultimately happen and not happen. It's just we know is what we know so far.
Okay.
So a lot of people getting started trick themselves into saying, I can't do this. I don't know how to do that. I don't have this. I don't have that skill set, or I don't have the whatever. The truth is you also have the ability to ask a question.
Yeah.
And you could ask questions until you find out. We live in an amazing time where anybody can be an expert in anything fairly quickly after a half a year of studying online. Like you could really take the time, and but you also have to just trick you will trick yourself. You're the easiest person to fool into thinking you can't do something.
Okay.
And so I always tell people how to just be careful of the illusion of knowledge and always learn how to see beyond that illusion. And you'll get a lot farther in life if you realize you may not know everything.
I guess if you bump into a friend, an audience, a kid that you met in a magic show like a few years ago, and they come back and say, hey, because of your show, I was inspired to do something that I thought was impossible, and I asked the right question, and look where I am now, I think that would really make your day, right?
Oh, man, I've already seen it happen in, I received this thing called the Masters of Magic Award in St. Vincent, Italy last year. It's kind of I was very honored. It was mind-blowing to receive it. But I get there, and I see all these adults that told me they got into magic because of me. I was like, whoa, my... and I saw some people say they got into magic because of my old the Clear Cups and Balls routine.
Okay, wow.
In Singapore, just 2 weeks ago, I had people come up to me and said they got through their college education, and they're a doctor now because of my work in science. And I was like...
Wow.
Boom. Like that, that's
better than money, right? I mean,
that's,
you know,
when you're like, this might actually work.
No, I mean, that makes your day, because at the end of the day, it's not how much money you have, it's how much impact you made to the world for the better, right?
I always try, like, my whole thing that my show is about and the world and impossible science and the backbone of it is it's that wonder changes the world.
Yeah.
And magic inspires wonder. So I'm doing that. But more importantly, it's like my life's mission is to try to inspire as many questions as I can.
Yeah.
And because somebody's going to ask something amazing, and somebody's going to see a magic trick of mine and say, why couldn't we do it for real? And it won't be a trick when they do it. And that's going to be my focus.
So. Would you be in Asia anytime soon?
I'm not going to be in Asia. I mean, I'm going to be in India in January.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not in mainland China.
So if people want to reach out to you or maybe some organization. If people want to reach out to you or some organization wants to get you as a keynote speaker, how can they get in touch with you? Can you leave your contact?
I'm easy to find. Just jasonlatimer.com. And
okay.
LATIMER. That gives you a background on everything from magic to science, from the shows to the events coming up, and how to get a hold of me or anything on social media. I try to keep on top of much as I can, but for me, it's real. I'm just out there trying to inspire as many people as possible. So it's easier just to send us an email.
Great. Well, nice talking to you today, Jason. So I hope you keep in contact. Yeah. And I'll probably be in the States next year. I'll reach out. I'm in California. Maybe we can meet up.
Oh, please, please. And if you want, come into the Science Center. Have your mind blown.
Which city is that in?
LA, Downey, Orange County, and San Diego.
Oh, in San Diego. Okay. Our Hong Kong EO chapter is a sister chapter of San Diego. So we know a lot of people. So probably I'll definitely come in.
Great.
Yeah. But thanks a lot. Thanks for this podcast.
Thanks. Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. For details on this episode, go to kevinshee.com. That's Kevin, SHEE.com.